Why is it a great day? Because God loves us. Why is it a great day? Because it's a new day. Why is it a great day? Because God has a lot of possibilities in front of us. He's prepared for us, the church. And we have the Father's name. You know, my name is John Helmuth. My wife and I surely travel the world and preach the gospel. We're so privileged to share the gospel in other nations. But I have my father's name. His name was John Helmuth as well. And I'm very proud to have my father's name. So to separate us, I have a middle name called Dale. So they called me John Dale when I was young. I didn't want to be called Junior for some reason, so they called me John Dale. So if I get a phone call and somebody says, "Is John Dale there?" I know that they're from my past. And so I'm not offended if you call me John Dale or if you call me John or if you just don't call me late for supper, that's all. But we're excited to be here. But we have taken on the name of the Father, Christ, right? As Christians, we have taken on his name. And we should be proud of that, and we should honor that name. But today the word Christian is used very loosely. But I am proud of my Father. You're quiet. We're in the Philippines, and we had texts this morning and Facebook notes, "Happy Father's Day." We have spiritual children around the world, and we're so blessed. They call us Mom and Papa. And so they've texted me and said, "Happy Father's Day." But for you today, I want it to be a happy Father's Day between you, the Father, you and the Father, together. Our theme for this month is together. There's been a separation. And we'll talk about that later. But let's find our place together with the Father today. Because the Father loves us. He loves you. So, it's time as parents, as men especially, that we step up to the plate. And we do what's right. You know, it doesn't matter if you're pitcher, catcher, or outfielder. We need to do the best, and you can tell I've been to a lot of baseball games lately, right? But it's time that we as the church, as believers, do the right thing. And it's not just on Father's Day, it's every day of the week that we stand up and proclaim Christ to the nations of the world. There's a quote that any man can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad or a daddy. A dad is someone who gets up every day, does whatever he can to put a roof over your head, clothes on your back, and food on the table. That's so true. So men, I'll talk to the men for a moment. Your sons and daughters are watching you, waiting. They're looking for a role model, someone to go after, be like, follow, stability, safety, love. But your wife is also looking for the same thing. Amen, women? Okay, I got a few there, thank you. But parents, as parents, moms and dads, we need to be the good example of a believer. How you show your family love. How you show your family leadership. First of all, that God is very important to you. You have a personal relationship with the Lord. Amen? This is most important, that you as a father or as a mother, as a parent, show that your God is more important than anything else in your life. Because with God, all things are possible. Second, that your family is very, very important. And I know that as men, and me especially, as I became the provider for the family and worked all the time, no other men did here, right? Worked all the time, that I missed out on a lot of the ball games my children went to, and I'm trying to make them up going to my grandkids' games. But I thought it was so important. The workplace was more important than my family at times, and I failed in that. So sometimes the most important thing that we think is so important is the worst thing. Well, you're hearing me. I'm stepping on some toes here, but that's okay. I want you to hear the message today that God loves us unconditionally. He is our Father. And regardless of the regrets that we have, today we can move forward into the new things that God has prepared for us. Amen? You know, it's in the home where leaders are made. It's in the home where the heart and soul get healthy. But also, as parents, we need to show our children, our family, that church is important. The Word of God is important. And you do that by how? By being in church. By being a part of a group of believers, worshiping God, having fellowship together, praying together, worshiping, enter in. And this is where God speaks to us directly, through His Word. And it's so important that we hear God speak. For me it is. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy or something, but I am crazy for Jesus. That's okay, I'll admit that. I'm crazy for Jesus. I'm sold out for Him. And if you sell out for Jesus, if you haven't done that, it's time to do that today. But if you sell out for Jesus, you'll find that He will do things for your life, take you places you never thought you'd go, work miracles through your hands, through the anointing that God puts on our lives. God is our Father. But the Word of God always brings life. Didn't get any amens on that, but God's Word always brings life. Amen? It doesn't bring division. It doesn't bring destitution. It brings life. It gives us direction. It gives us hope. And we move to forward as a body of believers into the things that God has for us. That's why we bring our children to church. So I want to talk about the Father's love. And there's a scripture verse in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. It talks about prayer. Jesus is talking. It says, don't be like them who, like the heathen, like the Gentiles, who stand in front of people and give great amounts or think they do. He says, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. He loves us so much. He's a personal God. He knows what I need. He knows what you need before you ever begin to pray. And that's our Father today. Hallelujah. The next verse says, this is how you pray, Jesus says, our Father which art in heaven. We honor our Father today. I believe that many, many people that has been lost today, we don't come with reverence to the Heavenly Father. We don't give Him reverence with our lives. But it's time to get back to that where we honor our Heavenly Father when we come together. Amen? But His love is unconditional. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to perform, do some act of goodness, or believe a certain way for the Father to love you. He loves you unconditionally, just like you are. We know that scripture verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. He gave us what? His very best, His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life with Him. There would be a connection together. We would be together with the Father. So we see His love poured out to us. And all through the Word of God, we can see that He loves us. There's thousands and thousands of scriptures showing us how much God loves us, from the Old Testament to the end of the New. There's a scripture verse I want us to look at in Romans chapter 5, 7 and 8. It talks about Christ dying for the ungodly, but Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. And I'm reading this from the New Living. It says, now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. You know, somebody is really great, why would we die for them? If someone's good, we might, you know, think of taking their place. But for a sinner, nana. But Christ died for us while we were ugly and still are ugly and sinners, right? So his love is shown to us through his word. There's many scriptures, like I said, thousands of scriptures that show us how much he loves us. And if we could ever understand this love, hopefully we can be a little bit like him, right? We can express that same kind of love to other people. But we can't love like he does in our own sinful nature. There has to be a transformation. And that's what I want to talk about today, is Father's love and how he reconnects us and how our life changes when we're restored, we're together again with the Father. Amen? We'll talk about broken relationships for a little bit. As sinners, as ungodly people, unholy people, we are separated from God. Even though he loves us, there's a separation. Okay, I hope you're following me here. You believe that, right? But so we have a broken relationship. And all over the world, we see this same problem. Father, son, mother, daughter, friends, broken. Broken relationships. Even here in this church. In our home. All over the world, in this church, in our home, broken relationship. It hurts because it's personal to us. It hurts. How? So how are we going to get healed and put back together? Because Christ is not come to leave us the way we were, but he came to bring a healing and bring restoration and bring us back to the Father. So we have to start, first of all, with God. Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to forgive you? Have you made him Lord of your life? Time to start doing the right thing instead of the wrong things. So there's a change and transformation that comes into our lives, comes into your life today. And as a father and a dad today, if any of my children or my wife or friends do me wrong and we're broken, listen to me for a moment. If they come to me and ask for mercy and forgiveness or grace, I'm ready. I forgive them because I haven't burned the bridges. The only bridges I've burned is my old lifestyle. I'm building bridges today. We need to build bridges for God to be able to restore relationship, first of all, with him. First of all, with him. Together with him. When we're together with him, then things start to change. Why? Because we have an open spirit, and the Father's love in us opens the doors. And I tell you what, a lot of healing is done when we say, I forgive you, I'm sorry, even though they may have never changed. But if we would learn, I forgive you, those three words, we will see a life change. We will see restoration. You know, we need a miracle from God. That's really what we need as a church, as a believer. We need a miracle from God. We need a touch from God because we can't do it on our own. We need help. Hallelujah. But we have a Father who helps us, who made a way. After we say, I forgive them, and they, I want forgiveness, then we begin to rebuild our relationship. Doesn't happen overnight. It takes steps. It takes days. It takes years sometimes. But we can move forward because we know that God is for us and not against us. Amen. Because he loves us unconditionally. God's love through Christ's resurrection, death and resurrection. We don't have to die literally ourselves because Jesus did that for us, right? But we need to forgive and ask for forgiveness. And I believe this is how relationships are restored. Heavenly Father, please forgive me. That's a start. That's a beginning. I've messed up. I'm not perfect. I've said some things. I've done some things. I'm a sinner. This is where it starts. And when we start that process of restoring and coming together with the Father, all things are possible. Amen. God can do anything that you say can't be changed. But I stand to tell you today that we serve a God who works miracles, who's still a miracle-working God. He's still creating today, and he's creating the new things we didn't see yesterday. So if there's a place of your heart that's ripped out, I believe the Holy Spirit is here today to put that piece together, to make a new piece for you, and cause those feelings and emotions to come alive again, because he's a heavenly Father that loves us. So if I'm going to be the dad like I should be, if I'm going to be an example of love, then I have to ask, take the first step. Buckle up, guys. Come on. If you have to cry, cry. If you get on your knees like we did earlier and the presence of God came in this place, you know, God honored us on our knees this morning. For those of you and all of you, some of you couldn't get down on your knees. But there's something about humbling ourselves that brings in the presence of God. And what does it say in Chronicles? If my people will humble themselves and pray. Woo, hallelujah. I feel that. There's a healing that takes place. We need a nation healed today. Our nation is reeling from sin. And we need a healing in our nation today. But it starts with me. It starts with you as believers together. We can build and rebuild the church. Hallelujah. Matthew 7:9 shows how much God loves us. Hallelujah. Matthew 7, verse 9, 10, and 11. It says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? This shows the Father's love to us. He already knows what we need before we ask. We had that verse in the beginning. He already knows what you need in your life. He knows the touch you need, the miracle you need, the restoration you need. And fathers and sons, sometimes it's the hardest between the fathers and sons. This is not in my notes, but before my father died, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, go see him. And I may have shared this before, but the Holy Spirit's prompting me to share this. And I went to see my dad, and I said, my father had cancer, and he was dying. I said, Dad, how's our relationship? How is it between you and me? He said, it's okay. We took care of that years ago, didn't we? I said, well, I thought so, but I'm here for a reason. God told me to come here. Then he spoke to me. How about my brothers? Should I call them? Two brothers that were estranged from my father. There was no relation. There was a broken relationship. And he said, please. I went home. One lived in another state. Well, the fact is both of them lived in other states. And I was able to call them. To make a long story short, they both came home. My father met him, and he said, please forgive me. He was the first one, hugged him. It was total restoration. That can be you today. That can be you today. If you're estranged from the Father, our Heavenly Father, then He's waiting there with open arms. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. Talks about the prodigal son. Talks about a man who had two sons, and they said he wanted our inheritance, so he gave them their inheritance, both sons. And the youngest one, a few days, said, I'm going to leave the house, I'm going to leave this place. And he went out, lived a wicked life, spent all his money. There was a famine in the land, and he was feeding the hogs, and he was so hungry he wanted to eat the stuff the hogs were eating, but they didn't allow him to eat any of that. He said to himself, in my father's house, he said, the servants are treated better than what I'm being treated. He said, I'm just going to go to my father and tell him I'm sorry, and I'll just be one of your servants. Go to Luke. Let's read this because it's so important. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. Listen to that. Filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. I like this last part. So the party began. Hallelujah. What a celebration. Because here, there was a restoration. There was a separation that came together. God and you today can be the same. Or father and son. Or father and daughter. Or father and mother. Whatever is estranged in your life, it is possible to be restored because God loves you and He has forgiven you. Listen to me. God is speaking to someone, and maybe two or three people here today, but it doesn't matter what has happened yesterday. Before you came in the door today, the Father's love embraces you as an individual, as a believer. And there's forgiveness for you. There's hope for you. There's blessings for you. Hallelujah. Let's go to John 15. Hallelujah. He's preparing a place for us. He says, you have already been pruned and purified. I think I wrote that down wrong. I think it's John 14. He's preparing a place for us. But we know the story. He said, I'm preparing a place for you. I've got a mansion. I'm preparing a house for you. And where I am, I want you to be there. It's just showing the Father's love so that you will always be with me where I am. The Lord wants us together with Him. He's preparing a place for us. If you go to verse 14, chapter 14, verse 6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? No one comes to the Father except through me. People are trying to be good enough, pay enough, pray enough, do all these things, but it isn't enough. You can't get to heaven by your good deeds. You get to heaven by the grace and mercy of God, His forgiveness, His love. And we need to embrace that love today. Hallelujah. I want to talk for a moment about one man. As a man, as a person, even as a woman, as a young person, you are important. You can change the world. Young people, do you hear me? You won't change the world at one time, but one person at a time. As you live for the Lord, as you worship Him, as you obey Him, you can change a nation. You can change a nation. We'll read about that in a few moments here. We go to Hebrews 11. It talks about Noah, first of all, and I don't have that verse down here. But Noah saved his family by building a big boat, right? By his faith, by his righteousness, and God honored that. One man. God wanted to destroy all of his creation because they were evil and their heart was wicked. But one man God found right in right standing. His name was Noah. And through Noah, we realize that the generations and genealogy could keep coming that would save the right place for Jesus to be born. But Abraham, in verse 12, if you go to Hebrews 11, verse 12, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. Because of the faith of Abraham, because he trusted God, because he obeyed God, one man, are you hearing me, men? One man made a difference. Women, are you hearing me? A woman, you as a lady, make a difference. Young people, you make a difference. And the list goes on and on. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, a woman, Gideon, Samson, Daniel, Samuel, the three Hebrew children. One man, one woman, one young person. They obeyed God. And what happened? They changed their situation. They changed the world they lived in. And I believe in this place today, in this sanctuary, in this temple, there are men and women and young people that if you will obey God and you will walk in faith, that you will change your situation, that you will change your family's life, you will change history, you will change a nation, you will shape a nation. That's possible. One man, one woman, one young person who trusts God, obeys the Lord. We'll go to Romans chapter 5. And I'm getting ready to wrap this up. In a few moments, will you come up, Walter,
or the worship team?
But Romans 5, 17 to 19 says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, now listen to me, death caused death to rule over many. Because of disobedience of one man, it caused death for many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ, one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Hallelujah. One man makes a difference. One person, one woman, one young person. You can stand for what is right. You can obey the word of God. You can do what is right when it looks like everything else is wrong. But I guarantee you, if you will stand in obedience to the gospel, the word of God, that you will make a difference. Because we impart. You impart something. You impart to your family. You impart to your children every day. And much of what a father does or does not do is built into the lives of the children. In other words, their brain, the way they're raised, the way they're taught by the father makes a difference the rest of their life. My father was a great example to me, he was a godly father. He was a pastor, but he was also a godly example. My father-in-law, the same, Shirley's father, was a pastor and a great mentor to me. They taught me many things I didn't realize that they taught me until they were both gone. I stand here today because I had a godly influence in my life. I'm standing here telling you that you can have the same godly influence through your heavenly father today. Maybe your father was a scoundrel, an alcoholic, or he was never there. I'm telling you today, we have a heavenly father who loves us, and he can repair the breach or the brokenness and restore you as a man or woman of God, because his love is unconditional. But you impart to your children. Do you really teach your children at home? And I know, yes, you do, but isn't there more? That's why we encourage you to bring your children to Sunday school, children's church, where they learn about the creation. Not about the Big Bang theory, but creation, God's creation, where they learn about Noah and the ark and all the animals and the parting of the Red Sea and the Moses and the burning bush and, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and how they were spared. And it goes on and on, the birth of Christ, the cross, the resurrection. But today, they need to learn about the Holy Spirit and the power of God. That through God, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, that your life can change, their life can change, and that God loves them. So as a man, woman, or youth, you are important. And I believe today I could say that you've been chosen by God. Chosen by God to live a life of excellence, live a holy life, a pure life before him. Be a person to change a nation. And as a church, we as believers, we have to live in this world with our eyes open. Be aware of what's happening in our world around us. Daily, prophecy is being fulfilled. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for his church. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back for you, right? But he's coming back. Are you ready? I hope so. But every day, as believers, our rights, our beliefs are being challenged in this world, in the U.S. of A. Our freedom as believers in Jesus Christ, believing in God's Word, it's being challenged every day. It's not important to most of the world, but it is important to us as the church. I'm hoping for a worldwide revival. And we were worshiping in our conference in Belgium, and the Holy Spirit was very strong. I had a vision, and I saw doves coming down and landing on the fields. I had visions of hundreds of thousands of doves landing on the field of France and Belgium. You know what that means, don't you? That there's going to be revival. The Holy Spirit is coming again. I want to have that vision of the United States, but I haven't had it yet, but I'm praying God will give it to me. The Word of God was important at one time in the United States, but today our beliefs are being challenged. It's not politically correct to believe the Word of God, to teach the Word of God. We can still teach it. We have the freedom to teach the truth yet, but someday, very soon, that's going to be taken away from us. Where will you be then? Do you have enough foundation in your life that you can stand on the truth and know what the Bible says? I'm challenging you today. What do we do because all of these things are coming our way? Do we go and hide? No. By one man's disobedience, a lot of sin came on the earth, but by one man's obedience, righteousness, grace came to us. His name was Jesus Christ. But by one man or one woman today, I challenge you as a young person or a young person, if you will find your right standing with God, right relationship with God, you can leave this place and change a nation. You can change a nation. Starting with your world where you live. Starting with your family and its problems. Maybe your city needs some help. But it can all start today if you give God that opportunity. I want us to stand as we close today. They're going to sing a chorus. Hallelujah. But God gave us a free gift. You don't have to write a check or give cash or use your credit card. He gave us a free gift. His love. And it's for all people of all nations, of all races, young or old. Unconditionally. Just for you. Today is a day of reconciliation. If you're broken and need prayer, find a place to pray. We invite you to come. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come. We'll pray with you. We want you to be restored. But if you're broken, you need somebody to agree with you in prayer, we invite you to come. We invite you to come and we will pray with you. Somebody will pray with you. So as they sing this worship chorus, if you feel like you need prayer, we invite you to come. We also want to tell you, if you feel like you need to go, you're free to go. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your prayers and your support of the kingdom of God. Trust God for that miracle today.